All right, so a couple of inyanim on Bishul Aklum, things that come up. So as we've discussed, so Bishul Aklum is in some ways in the kashrus business, so Bishul Aklum is one of the biggest concerns that you have. Any time you walk into a restaurant, anytime you go into a new facility, that is really your first question is, how in the world are we going to avoid Bishul Aklum issues? Even with the Mashgiach present, you're going to be wondering how we avoid Bishul Aklum issues. Because even if there's a Mashgiach, if it's a commissary or something like that, so Mashgiach's doing tons of things, and you got the cook who's going to be, the fire goes out, he doesn't want to have to bother to find the Mashgiach, he just wants to get it going again. So these things come up. I mean, how, in a way, you're looking for a way for the Bishul Aklum thing to be foolproof, right? To figure out a way that you just don't have to worry about it. You're sort of running on automatic when it comes to Bishul Aklum. So the obvious way about that is using a pilot lights, things like that. So we'll talk about that. And the other key thing is what is subject to Bishul Aklum. So maybe you're familiar with the IKC supervision. So right, you've seen these things. So one of the issues, he actually did an interview on the Headlines podcast already several years ago. You could track it down. So one of the things that they do, I'm not saying anything that he didn't say, but one of the questions that they do a lot of these vegan restaurants, and a lot of them are non-Jewish owned, non-Jewish restaurants that aren't really catering to a kosher consumer. And, but it happens to be kosher, so might as well tell all the Jewish people that it's kosher. So one of the questions, well, how do you deal with Bishul Aklum? So he suggested, well, they're vegan restaurants. Vegan restaurants are not going to be royal shulchan malachim, right? So that terminology, right, we're familiar with that, right? It has to, in order for something to be a issue of Bishul Aklum, it has to be fit for the table of a king. Now, what that means is a big question. So his taina was, says, well, anything in a vegan restaurant is not going to be subject to that. So I'm not sure that is true. What?
Even in India, they don't eat meat, really.
Right, right. He also says that most of the things are also nechal kamoshu chai if they're vegetarian, which also I'm not necessarily sure that is true. Nechal kamoshu chai means that it can be eaten while raw, right? So those are the two limitations.
Right. Like that's the one I remember. Rabbi Brisman told me it was something you could eat raw anyways, that it didn't...
Yes.
That, would they make stuff out of wheat proteins and stuff? Or what the different meat substitutes they use?
Like seitan.
Right, so a lot of those things are not necessarily going to be nechal kamoshu huchai. Now, there is a klal, I don't want to get into the weeds too much, rather build up a little bit more, but there is I was looking into some product at some point about how it's going to be a Bishul Aklum, how are we going to avoid the Bishul Aklum issue? And the Rabbi Gersten at the OU, who happened to be in town today to give a shiur in the Northeast, but he told me that anything that is that the OU policy is that anything that is not the real product, I mean, anything that is impersonating another product, is by definition not royal shulchan malachim. So if it is so potentially, I don't remember what the product was that we were discussing.
So you're saying impossible meat or impossible whatever it's called.
Right, that is what he tied it. Now, it's not necessarily, but again, that doesn't necessarily apply across the board to all vegan items either, meaning not that vegan items that are meant to be meat, so that would be a impersonating item. But tofu, for example, right? So tofu is tofu. Tofu is not. In fact, I never wanted to eat any. And Jonathan Chadash at a la carte one day, he actually does a lot of stuff with tofu. So he was like, "Come on!" And we actually certify a company. The first product that we have in the stores that has a Keystone K on it is a company called Fresh Tofu Inc. out of Allentown. So we certify that. So I was like, I don't know how he could eat this stuff. And the owner there told me, he's like, I don't eat this stuff. But the Jonathan Kaddish was like, no. Here, try it. I'm cutting you a piece. Here, take a piece of it. He said, and the key is, don't think you're eating chicken or like chicken. Tofu is different than chicken. Like, if you have the mindset that I want this to be like chicken, you're not going to like it. It has to be... You have to have a mind that I'm eating tofu. So I had a mind that I'm eating tofu, and I spit half of it out. So did not work for me. But anyways, yeah. So
Leone's house, then you can try it real quick.
Oh yeah, you're
eat a lot of tofu.
Aha, okay.
It's delicious.
Okay. All right, to each their own. So the Shulchan Aruch here says so two important klalim come right off the bat in Kuf Yud Gimel Sif Aleph. Davar she'inu ne'achal kamo she'u chai, v'gam ola al Shulchan Melachim, la'lefes bo'es ha'pas, ola parperes she'bishlu ovikul chavim, afilu b'kli Yisrael, b'veis Yisrael, aser mishum bishul ovikul chavim. So he gives you the qualifications here. Anything that that cannot be eaten raw, she'inu ne'achal kamo she'u chai, it can't be eaten raw, and also, it is Ola al Shulchan Malachim. Right, so both of those terms are found in the Gemara itself. And if it doesn't fit those two categories, it's no longer in the category of Bishul Akum. So any vegetables, for example, but vegetables that could be eaten raw, but you also cook them, so that's not going to be an issue of Bishul Akum. So corn, for example, right? Corn could be eaten raw, so corn is not going to be subject to Bishul Akum. So that's one. And then the second one is, and it has to be Ola al Shulchan Malachim, La Lefes Bo Es Apas. Now, that also is a little bit unclear. I mean, people just call it Ola al Shulchan Malachim, then they ignore the next couple of words. What does it mean, La Lefes Lo Es Apas? So Lefes Lo Apas is to eat with bread. So wait a second. So, Ola al Shulchan Malachim, to eat with bread. So what about a steak? A steak's not eaten with bread. Right, so does that mean that a steak in theory is Ola Shulchan Malachim, but it's not the Lefes Bo Es Apas? So there are some Rishonim that say, yeah, that's the din. The din is for a meal. A meal by definition is going to be eaten with bread. So only things that are eaten with bread, or actually they say rice, would be an example of this. Rice is, I mean, meat maybe you eat with bread. I mean, that's sort of going bread together.
Like
yeah, bread. Right. So it goes on, etc. But rice is considered to be a separate thing. Yeah. Right. So
you got dinner rolls with your steak.
Yeah. So the truth is, all of these are good questions, but we reject it. I mean, we assume this la lefes bo es apas is actually a chumra, not a kula, right? The way to read it as a kula would be only things that are eaten with bread. The way to read it as a chumra is even things that are eaten with bread. Meaning, if it's roy l'shulchan malachim, even if it's not Roy L'Shulchan Malachim on its own, but is only Roy L'Shulchan Malachim when eaten with bread, is also going to qualify as Bishul Akum, and that is the way that we normally assume. That's what we assume L'Halacha, that anything that is Ola L'Shulchan Malachim. Now, we keep tossing around this term. What does it mean, Ola L'Shulchan Malachim? So this is a big machlokas that is out there. Not so much lemaisa. Lemaisa, I think we generally paskin lekula, but there's this chumra that is out there that people wonder about. So what does it mean, Ola Shulchan Malachim? So the way that we treat it nowadays, the way we mostly assume is, Ola Shulchan Malachim means a king's banquet, right? So a state dinner. That's what people like to say, right? So if it's not fit to be served at a state dinner, so then it is no, it does not count. There is a in all the OU journals, or Schechter, one of his farm quotes this, quotes this from Rabbi Ganak, or Rabbi Ganak quotes it. In there's a journal called the OU put out for a while. I don't know if they still do. Called the Mesorah Journal. They're all available online. It was sort of written as an effort to kind of get the Psakim of Rav Soloveitchik and Hilchos Kashrus out. So it's sort of like the OU halachic journal that they put out mostly in the realms of Hilchos Kashrus. So there, Rabbi Ganak tells a story that he heard from Rav Shimon Schwab. Are you familiar with Rav Shimon Schwab? He was the Rav of the Breuer Shul in Washington Heights, right? In Washington Heights, YU is on the east side of Washington Heights, and Breuer is on the west side of Washington Heights. They're not very far from each other up there. But so he was the Rav of the Breuer's community. So he apparently had a relationship with the Chazon Ish, and the story goes is that he once asked the Chazon Ish whether sardines are considered to be Roy L'Shulchan Malachim, and the Chazon Ish got very serious, is the way he describes it, and says, of course it's Roy L'Shulchan Malachim. The Queen of England eats sardines for breakfast. So you catch what's the nuance
first
there?
First of all, I wonder how he knows.
Right. Okay, it's a good question. I mean, how did he know? But beyond that, you see the Chakira there. I mean, does Roy L'Shulchan Malachim mean a king's table, meaning a king's feast, that is a state dinner when everybody is present, etc.? Or does it mean something that the king eats? right? It's something that the king eats, so that perhaps that is obviously going to be much, 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 much more expensive, right? Because anything the king eats is going to be really anything. Especially,
well, I also wonder, like a democratic leader.
Who is a king?
That's even, like, in the United States, every candidate goes to Iowa and, like, eats those corns off.
Very good. Very good, very good, very good, very good. So in Rabbi Cohn's Sefer here, so he picks up on that issue. So apparently he quotes, this is also interesting, that apparently someone went to Rav Eliashiv and asked him about potato chips. Now potato chips might be mishalachim for a different reason, because potato, we'll get to that's the next topic I want to cover, but potatoes are certainly royal shulchan malachim, right? They're potatoes are part of a meal at a wedding, right? But potato chips are not, right? So somebody asked Rav Eliashiv what potato chips are. So Rav Eliashiv said, "I heard that President Obama eats potato chips in the White House." So that seems like, so he doesn't eat at state dinners in the White House. He eats it while watching a football game in the White House, right? Or I think there's a famous picture that he was watching when it was still considered cool to root for the U.S. women's soccer team. I think there was a picture of him watching the game with his daughters, and they had like all these snacks laid out in front of him. So there, you see, the President Obama eats pretzels and eats potato chips and eats these kinds of things. So that's actually, or Cohn points out, that's actually a bigger chiddush than the Chazon Ish, because the Chazon Ish is saying sardines they eat for breakfast. Breakfast is a meal. That is shulchan malachim, right? It might not be a fancy shulchan malachim. It might be the kitchen shulchan malachim, right? But at least they're sitting down for a meal and eating it. If President Obama is eating potato chips, right, while sitting on the couch, right, so that is even considered a lower level. But yet Rav Eliashiv seemed to assume that was an issue. Nevertheless, right, we seem to the standard approach is to not be choshish, is to not be choshish for that, rather to assume that no roi shulchan malachim is a state dinner, or you can a wedding, like a fancy dinner. That's what we generally assume. Now, even that sort of runs into trouble, because what about hot dogs? Right, are hot dogs?
I mean, you could apply this to like almost any food, like. You know, the, like, I don't know, Michelin star chefs make a lot of chips, and they serve a lot of stuff on chips.
Okay, right.
So.
Right, so those are perhaps in a specific style, or sometimes it's like, you know, it's served at a fancy dinner, but like almost as like a joke, not really as a joke isn't the best word.
I wouldn't say that at all.
But sort of as a.
I was just wondering, like, is there any approach to this that says that, like, the idea of Royal Chilsmach is, like, more of a heuristic for those times? And the fact that, like, we live in times where our leaders are much more grub is more of a reflection on us, but not, like, that the halakha is changing?
Maybe, but I'm not sure they would say the same thing then. Meaning the Chazon Ish was still, the Chazon Ish was speaking in the 50s, right, where there was still, and he's talking about the Queen of England,
yeah,
right, where it still was considered to be something chashev, and he was pointing out that a monarch does eat it.
Because today, I mean, the presidents of the United States are like, some of them are among the most grub,
yes,
people in the world.
right, I agree. Now, he points out, he actually points out in the Sefer, that right, one of the other chidushim that Rav Eliashiv says
like
here.
The condition doesn't even exist anymore.
Right, to include a president in that way is an interesting thing. But still, a state dinner is still a state dinner. Even at the White House, a state dinner is still considered to be a pretty fleshy thing. What is this based on? I mean, why is this what the Takana is? Why is Bishal Akam have anything to do with whether it's Royal Shulchan Malachim or not? So the assumption is, why is Bishal Akam a problem in the first place? So we connect that to the issue of chasnus, right? The issue of intermarriage, right? The same, there's some other concerns as well, but the main thing is an issue of chasnus. So the issue of connecting too much. So are we concerned that if you just have a simple meal together, that's going to lead to chasnus? So that might be the machlokas. I mean, one opinion is, no, that what's going to lead to intermarriage is going to a fancy restaurant together. What's going to lead to chasnus is going to a fancy banquet together. But go and eat chips together, that's not going to necessarily, that's not going to lead to it in the same way. But the other opinion is, no, any time you're going to eat together is a problem. So Rabbi Cohn suggests, Rabbi David Cohn here suggests, that if you look at that, there's the Rambam in his formulation of this halacha. So the Rambam's formulation is that the he's ambiguous, but he says the king, what the king, when the king invites guests, this is what he serves, right? So that is that. So you're still left with the question: when the king invites guests for a state dinner, when the king invites guests for dinner, right, or for lunch. But either way, it's still inviting them to feed them, and which would seem like it should exclude potato chips, which would seem like it should exclude right, that would include sardines, but would exclude things that are pretty strictly considered to be snack foods. Yeah.
So with Pas Palter, there's a lot of coolness in regards to if it's not personally made for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also the idea with chasnas. So why don't you see the same reasoning with bishalach?
Yeah, so
if it's not personally made for you, it's there's a step removed.
Yeah, so well, the reason why Pas Palter is permitted is because it was explicitly permitted, meaning Pas Palter is not Pas Yisrael, right? Pas Yisrael is one thing, and then Pas Palter is, they realized it was too difficult to keep Jews from to require Jews to only get Pas Yisrael, so therefore they permitted Pas Palter, as right. opposed to Bishul Akum. Bishul Akum was never became make. That's still the Gezerah, right? The Gezerah is found in the Gemara, is still the Gezerah, meaning Pas Yisrael, I assume even, I know Chabad is mostly Machmir on it, but I think right. they would see it as a Chumrah, right? As mm-hmm. a, what?
Yeah.
It has the halachus of a Chumrah. Bishul Akum has the halachus of a Din Derabanan. So therefore right. we're not willing to mitigate that. At least in that way.
I wonder if the idea that it comes from concern about chasanas would make some of these heterim more makel when it comes to things like the IKC, in that like you're going to a restaurant with your family and.
Mm-hmm.
Or you think it's not like not really no gay at all? Just that it's like already so outside the context of.
Yeah. So we are not. That we're not makel. There is elsewhere in this section. I think in Kuf Yud. A little further down, I forgot which sif. There is a there's an isser in going to in a sheikhar akum, in going to a bar with having beer with them. So I remember. So you're not allowed to go to a bar. I think that is the so the. Right, to sit in a bar. So apparently the I'm trying to remember this exactly, but I remember it, when I was in Reshetish here, he quoted from the Chachmas Adam, saying that nowadays that because there's been challenges of intermarriage, this we should extend this also to coffee houses. So I remember when I was in Reshetish here, he said this and said so before nowadays we have a much worse problem with intermarriage. So probably we should still prohibit going to the coffee houses. To which all the guys were all 21, 22, 23, like, where are we supposed to go on dates? like I'm supposed to go tonight. Like, what are you talking about? What?
Hotel lobbies.
Even hotel lobbies, right? But all of it sounds like you're prohibiting all of these things.
I think any public place.
So I think what that din is, I mean, the prohibition of going to bars, and probably what the Chachas Adam was talking about in terms of going to coffee houses, is that was the place of gathering, right? When you cheers, right? The cheers, right? Where everybody knows your name, right? Everybody knows your name, and you all sit around together, fressing, and you know you know the mailman and the other guy, right? This is your chevra, as opposed to when you go to and coffee houses in Europe also serve that purpose. In fact, I saw in Prague, I think there's a Nodzvi Yehuda discussion about going to a coffee house on Shabbos. Like, could you go on Shabbos and but clearly describing it as being the place where people went to hang out, as opposed to Starbucks. Starbucks is not really a hangout. It is a place where you go to do your thing. Right, everybody just sits there. If you're by yourself, you're just sitting there with your headphones and your computer. You're not like, there's no like communal aspect to most Starbucks. So I think we sort of may have convinced them about that, or at least made ourselves feel better about going to Starbucks. Just you're not, it's not that kind of thing. But that's also, it's formulated as this is the reason. Bishul Akum is low plug, or at least actually might lead to, you know, we could speak about this. Well, because you brought this up, maybe we'll skip to this topic. There is a big machlokas that sort of covers much of the halachas of Bishul Akum between the Rashba and the Ra'ah. You cover this at all? Right? Whether the Rashba assumes that it is lulplug, that it is completely usser, no matter what, meaning Bishul Akum is a chefza shel isser, and therefore is usser, as opposed to the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah argues that no, that it's mishum chasnus. If it's a gezer mishum chasnus, so then that's going to have various ramifications. So one place where that rears its head is, do you have to kasher for bishul akum, right? So on one hand, you would say the Ra'ah, and by the way, the Ra'ah and the Rashba, they are continuous bali machlokas in the area of in Shulchan Aruch, right? You may have probably you've come across the Torah Sabayis, right? So the Rashba wrote the Torah Sabayis. That is, in fact, much of Basar V'Cholav and Taruvus is based, patterned after the Rashba's Torah Sabayis. And then if you get a Torah Sabayis edition, so on one side is the Bedek Habayis. So the Bedek Habayis was written by the Ra'ah. So it's the Ra'ah's notes on the Torah Sabayis. And then on the other side of the page, where you got like Rashi and Tosos, or the Taz and the Shach, right? So on the other side of the page is the Mishmeres Habayis. So that's the Rashba's answers to the Ra'az Tainas against them, right? So that's the Torah Habayis of the Rashba. That's the way the Sefer is known, but it contains within it the commentary of the Ra'ah. So they're constantly going at it with each other, the Ra'ah and the Rashba. So this is one of their big, big machlokas in the area of Bishul Akum, whether it is considered a low plug, meaning it's a chefza shel isser, it's nothing to talk about, or whether you really go all back, whether it all goes back to whether there's an isser of chasus or not. So when it comes to blios, for example, right, so do I have to kasher kalim that have bishul akum in it? So we paskin like the Rashba that yes. What would be the argument not to? So the Ra'ah says, who's getting married based on the blios that are left in a pot? Right, that doesn't make sense. While the Rashba says, no, low plug, right? You know what I mean when I say low plug? Low plug means across the board, right? That's the rule. The rules are rules, and we're not going to start playing games with whether you really have to be concerned with an issue of chasnus. Along those lines is a this is a very strange shaila, but when a person converts, right? Right, so first of all, when a person converts, so what about their leftover cholin from the previous Shabbos? Right? Do they have to? We'll get to chillin in a second. But let's say they have hamburgers from last week. Chillin is a little bit of a question. We'll get to. But let's say he's got meat in his that he made. So is he allowed to eat that meat, or does he have to throw everything out in his fridge? Right? And then beyond that, what about kashering his kalim? Does he have to kasher his kalim? Does he have to tovel his kalim, by the way? Does a ger have to tovel all of his kalim? So even if they were toveled before? So that we generally assume yes. We generally assume that they are supposed to tovel all their kalim. Do they have to kasher their kalim? So there also we pretty much are machmir for it while throwing a bunch of kulis. Meaning if there's other reasons to be makel, maybe it would be makel. So if the person has like china or something that can't be kashered and there's like various kulis out there that we might not rely on, we might allow ger to be somech on that. But generally speaking, we are machmir for that. We're machmir for the blios that are contained within the pot. While preparing this for the night, I realized, hey, wait a second, I mean, there's somebody in our shul who a couple of years ago realized he wasn't Jewish, and all of a sudden, he converted and actually had a wedding in his backyard. So I was like, wait a second, did he have to... Does that mean he's been doing Bishul Akum his whole life? So that was a little bit of a suffix that was involved there, so I'm not sure we would go that far. But the general approach is to pass like the Rashba and say, yeah, that it's considered to be a chefza shel isser, and therefore it's usser. So now, let's tell you the following shaila. I have a friend of mine, I remember discussing when I was in Smicha, actually already living in Riverdale, also still in Smicha, so I used to drive in a bunch of times with the assistant rabbi. His name is David Silverstein. He's a Rebbe in Yeshiva Oraita now. It's a podcast if you want to follow him. So I remember him telling me that he had the following shiloh that came up this past Shabbos, that somebody was having a big kiddush in their house or apartment, having a bunch of people coming over, and they realized that the chillant had not been plugged in. The crock pot had not been plugged in. So they ran down, they asked me what to do, and I realized it was still Bein HaShmashos. So it's still, right, it wasn't completely dark, it was still Beina Shmasha, so there's a din, Amir La'akum is Mutter Beina Shmasha, certainly the Tzorach Gadol. So I said to them they could do it, they could go plug the children, they could ask a guy to go plug the children in, they should do it very quickly. Okay, fine. So that's a good psak when it comes to that, to the Amir La'akum issue. I was like, hey, wait a second. Is the children Bishul Akum? Right? Is the children now Bishul Akum? I mean, the non-Jew plugged it in. So that means they cooked it. So if they cooked it, does that mean that the chilent all has to be thrown out because it's bishul akum? So with that, you can go. So there is a sugya that seems to touch on this, the very last issue in the simen, where it's a ramah. The ramah says in obi kochavim shebishul lechol b'shabbos mutter lemotzi shabbos afilu liberia. So what's the scenario here? So there's somebody who's sick. There's a chola. He needs food on Shabbos, therefore it's a chola. So in theory, so therefore you could amir la'akum is mutter, and you could ask a non-Jew to cook for the chola, right? So he needs meat, so ask the non-Jew, put some meat on the grill for him, and great. Now, what happens with the leftover meat? What happens with leftover meat? So after Shabbos, right? So why is, first of all, why is that mutter? So it's mutter for Shabbos because it's Amir La'akim, you're violating the Durabun for the purpose of a chola, for the purpose of a sick person, right? So that's okay. But why is it not Bishul Akum? So the way the Ramah formulates it is, well, because that's a pretty big hecker, meaning it's clear that the non-Jew is only doing it for you because you can't do it yourself. So therefore, we'll matter it, we'll permit it. So the Ramah says that not only is it mutter motzi Shabbos for the chola, it's even mutter for a healthy person. Ve'imbo mishum bishul akum, the chol kai gavna hekeri ikum. Because there's a heker on it, right? It's clear. That's the meat that the guy made on Shabbos because it would be usa for us to make. That's what the Ramah paskins. So, comments the Taz, as well as the Nekudas HaKesef. I don't know why the Shach himself doesn't mention it, but the Nekudas HaKesef comments on it. He says, hey, wait a second. He's following the Ra'ah, right? That makes sense if you hold like the Ra'ah, that it's all about low plugs, it's all about whether there's an issue of chasnus or not, etc. In fact, the Ramah even quotes it. Whoever, probably not the Ramah who put in the notes at the end, but whoever added these notes says, Beis Yosef b'shem haran, shekein kasa b'shem hara'ah. He says, yeah, that's the opinion of the Ra'ah. We paskin, though, like the Rashba. And according to the Rashba, it should be aser, right? Bishul akum is bishul akum, and it's low plug. It doesn't matter that the only reason the non-Jew was doing it is because it was aser for a Jew to do. It has a status of bishul akum, and therefore it should be aser. That's the position of the Taz, that the Taz seems to take. So I was like, hey, wait a second, isn't that a bishul akum issue then? So truth is, you can make a case that, well, the same reason that it's mutter for the chola on Shabbos to eat, it's mutter for everybody else to eat in this scenario, because there's no other way to do it, etc. But what about after Shabbos? Does it remain usher after Shabbos? So I remember discussing this issue with Rav Savlovsky. I remember walking from one building to the other on the YU campus, discussing this with him. I remember him saying, is chulent roi l'shulchan melachim? Right, so is chilent fit for the for a king's table? So what do we think?
It has meat in it.
It has potatoes.
Meat and potatoes.
Right.
Most of the ingredients you can't eat raw, so.
And we eat it on Shabbos, which
right?
It's like sort of shulchan.
Shabbos malka.
Right. So those are all good reasons to assume that it is.
Until modern times, those stews were peasant food. Like it was. It wasn't something special. Like it's.
Right.
You had to have stew. It's all you had. You know?
Right. And when you have a fancy seuda on Shabbos, meaning roi l'shulchan malachim, is not. Yes, I know. Is not roi l'shulchan Shabbos malka. We seem to distinguish between them, even though yes, it's very nice to call the Shabbos meal a shulchan malachim. Right. It seems like l'halacha we don't assume that way. Otherwise, it would be called that roi l'shulchan Shabbos or something. Right, we don't. Right, it seems like we raise the standard even above that. So I thought it was until I saw Rabbi Cohen in this book says no. Official policy is that chilim does not qualify as being royal shulchan malachim. He says, what about right the fact that there is meat in it, or whatever? Yeah, but it is prepared not in a Shulchan Melachim way, which leads to the next question, right? In my mind, in Hilchos Bishlachim, everything sort of like is intertwined with one another, but it leads to another question of what about forms? Meaning potatoes, right, are royal Shulchan Melachim, but potato chips aren't, and tater tots aren't, and French fries, maybe they are for the kids' table.
See, that's right? The thing, it's like you can make anything fancy.
Yeah.
You know, or, tradition holds. you can make anything fancy or leave it quite...
Right.
But when you do that, it's still the exception. When you make those one, two things fancy, it's an exception to a rule, though.
Yeah. So what is it? So what is that to me? If it's made in a way that's not going to be for meal, is that still considered to be royal Shulchan Melachim? So he divides this question up into three categories. And this is Rabbi Cohen. So number one is it's a right. It's not cooked well. Meaning if you let's say a roast potato is royal Shulchan Melachim, right? What about if you put it in and, I don't know, you don't roast it well? It doesn't come out good, right? Does that mean that it's no longer royal, right? To the point that you wouldn't put it on the table, but it's still the same food, right? So I think there, Poskim say that no. That will say, even if you're a bad Shulchan Melachim cook, we'll still consider that will still be an issue, as long as you're trying to make the same food. It says, but if it's, let's say it's cut in a different way. So normally you would, right, potatoes are served, right, cut nicely. Instead it's cut as a French fry or as a tater tot or something like that. It says, or it's prepared in a different way. So, again, it's machlokasim about these things, but the kashrus organizations treat such a thing generally as not roy l'shulchan melachim. So I have actually here, I want to make sure it points out, I think when I was in Smicha, someone like put a bunch of these out, right? I mean, I found it in the YU Beis Medrash. But document M7 from the OU. The OU actually is a very organized, it's not public, but they have a very organized halachic halachic organization for their various documents, their various halachic psakim that they've had over the years and what they've paskened. And M7 is actually the master list of all of the foods and what qualifies and doesn't qualify for bishul akum. Oh. Right?
Can you pass it around? I'm just curious.
What?
Can you pass it around?
Yeah, it's not top secret. You just have to ask for it. Yeah, so for example here, so they have their principles here on the front page, and they have, with regards to...
So if I emailed the OU, they would send it to me?
If I emailed the OU, they would send it to me. I am not 100% sure they would send it to anybody, but here they have the whole potato products list. Right, and it's divided up into why they are would or not be bishul akum. Right, so number one here, so it requires bishul yisrael. That's one. So latkes, sprinkles, salad, soup, like potato salad, right? Whole canned potatoes that are all bishul akum issues. And then these are all the reasons why it might be exempt. Right, it's edible raw. It's not ola shulchan melachim. It's just, I don't know what that means. Primarily permitted tafel, not a tafshil, not being cooked. Right, so I'm not sure why pretzels is listed here, but potato, right? Potato chips, right? It says not ola l'shulchan melachim, right? It's the same potato that might be turned into a latke, but because it's A, cooked differently, and B, cut differently, so both of those reasons are sufficient to not require to not be makbid on shulchan melachim.
But makbid, they are.
Walk around, just don't lose them. I don't know where to get them. Right. So latkes, they list as being, yeah.
Even though maybe you could say the same thing. I've never seen a fancy state dinner really serve latkes.
What do you mean the White House Hanukkah party?
Is that a state dinner? Or that's like
that is probably.
If you're also going to call like a Michelin star chip a joke, they're definitely not doing it.
Well, definitely in the old days. I mean, there used to be the Hanukkah, the White House Hanukkah dinner was like a real sit-down dinner. If you talk to people that went 15 years ago, it was like a real sit-down dinner. Then it became more of a like party.
It's interesting. Yeah. When you said state dinner, I was thinking more like a diplomatic dinner.
Right.
But it could be any time the state is hosting even its own citizens.
I think like a fancy dinner, like a banquet or a wedding. I mean, I think it's easier for us to think about it just in terms of a wedding.
Okay.
Right? At a wedding, do they serve it? So
they don't serve latkes at weddings.
Yeah. So the truth is that might be you could argue. I hear what you're saying. You could argue on that. We had the issue. You know, we certified Maya's meals. So Maya's meals is a simple potato. It's just right in Cherry Grill, right? Cherry Hill, I mean. So there they it's just a falafel place, right? She has a mix. I'm not sure I'm recording, but it's really just a falafel mix. And there's a little machine, and it gets, you know, and it's like you push a button, and look, like it rolls it into a bowl, and look, drops it into a deep fryer, right? So when she bought all the equipment, I said, first of all, she herself is not Shomer Shabbos, but besides that, she also doesn't plan on being there all the time, right? It's not going to require Mashgiach Tamidi. So he said, make sure to get everything with a pilot light. And it was pretty difficult finding deep frying wasn't so hard. It was other things that was a little harder. But it wasn't the easiest thing for her to find with a pilot light, but she got it anyways. Now, the truth is falafel really Roy L'Shulchan Malachim?
The other thing I would say is, like, we were... You mentioned how corn, for example, is edible raw.
Yeah.
But in its cooked form, it typically isn't before you cook it because you dry it and it becomes rock hard. Same thing with most beans. Like chickpeas, young chickpeas are edible raw.
Uh-huh.
And then they dry and harden, and then you have to cook them. So, like...
So, corn, I think they said, is because if you get canned corn... I've seen canned corn.
But canned corn is cooked.
It's cooked already.
It's been shucked from the fresh.
Yeah, so I think that was their timing. It was fresh, even though it was cooked. It doesn't then require Bishul Yisrael on that. You can check the list over there, but I don't think they require
it. Because like a lot of legumes are...
Where do you draw the line? He does point out in here that it's unclear where exactly to draw the line. I mean, an onion...
Lime beans
is considered to be right kosher, natural kosher high, even though it's really only eaten as a... You wouldn't eat an onion, right? Even when you have raw onions, it's only tafel to other items, which is another reason to be makel. But still,
eating a raw lima bean.
Hmm?
I mean, when they're fresh, that's what you buy the frozen ones. They're just frozen.
So they're gonna make you sick.
Tuna is not required.
No, they don't. Hold off on tuna. Tuna. Okay, I'll hold off on tuna.
So it's very interesting.
Tuna is a is another thing. Actually, tuna does tie into this last thing. It's prepared in a different way. Meaning, if you assume canned tuna fish, for those that are make, I'm not sure if this is the only issue that is the big dispute between OU tuna fish versus Hemisha tuna fish. But
the scales.
What?
Scales. Whether the fish come in with scales or without.
So that I'm not.
And maybe that's salmon.
No, salmon does not require, but salmon is a different color.
Yeah.
When it comes to fresh fish showing up here in a fish store, right, so that we would require scales be attached to that if it comes in fresh. But if it comes in a can, that means that there's somebody. You know, that they're monitoring, that only tuna is going into those cans. So one of the issues, one of the questions is, okay, what about, so is tuna subject to Bishul Yisrael or not? So Rav Shechter in his third sefer, Ginas Egos, he has a whole article on the Inyan tuna fish here, right? The kashrus dag hatuna shebikufsaos, regarding the kashrus of tuna in cans. Yeah, so the last issue that he discusses here is the issue of Bishul Akum here. So one thing to say tuna steak is raw. When you get a tuna steak, it's going to be raw tuna. It's going to be grilled. So do you say, well, that's certainly Roy L'Shulchan Malachim, right? So would you say, well, therefore all tuna fish is Roy L'Shulchan Malachim? So you can say, no, because this is prepared in a totally different way. It's cut in a totally different way, and therefore it's not going to be subject to the rules of Bishul Akum. In fact, a raya to that, perhaps, is actually from the Pas Yisrael sermon. In Hilchos Pas Yisrael, Kuf Yud Beis, Sif Aleph, so the Rama says that here he's discussed lo asrael a paschal chamisha mine dagan, that the only iser would be five grains of al paschal kitnis shall oriz vidochen eno bechlal pastam shasu. That's not included, meaning bean bread or millet bread, right, are not included in the past. That would be usr. So then the Ramah then says, "V'gam eno asur mishum bishul akum im eno ola shulchan malachim." By the way, it's not going to be bishul akum either. Meaning, you run into that problem if it's not going to be subject to pas akum, so maybe you have a bishul issue. That's part of the donut question. But comes the Ramah says, "By the way, and if it's not ola shulchan malachim, it's not going to be subject to bishul akum either." So comes the shach here and comments. The ain't suffic the pas kitnis or is vidochen inu al shulchan malachim to the mashu divriyatur or myri betavshel shenasim or is vidochen right the hasim ikal plugi being ola shulchan malachim olo ad kantar right he quotes from the Bach that we're going to that when it comes to rice for example so rice is let's assume is ola shulchan malachim but rice cakes are not ola shulchan malachim. Right, so what's the difference? Right, well, it's just a difference in the way that it prepares. So that's the way the Shach seems to be analyzing Kufyud Beis Sif Aleph. So l'chora, you would say, you would assume that is the din. Meaning, if it's prepared in a different way, one does not have to be concerned about the Ola Shulchan Malachim. Okay. Right. One other issue, by the way, is let's see, one or two other things along that line. Right, only Ola. It's only an Ola if it's. If it's tafel, that also would be a lenient. So the way he records in here is like for instance soup nuts or like Chinese noodles, things like that that are tafel to the rest of the dish. So that potentially also could be not even though that part has to be cooked, that might not be subject to bishul akum either because it's tafel to something else that is not. Also, sushi. Some have raised the point that now that sushi is eaten raw, right? Because of the rise of sushi, fish is now eaten raw. So maybe no fish is subject to the laws of Bishul Akum. So that I don't believe that is what most assume, partly because even raw fish used for sushi is treated in some way. I mean, it's not just raw. It's not just like cut a fish open and pop it in a roll, right? It's treated, it's salted, because there's something done to make it. So even though salting is not subject to bishul akum, if something requires salting, it's not going to be considered to be nechal kamoshi uchai, able to be eaten while it is raw. Okay? So that is the Ola Shulchan Malachim category. Now, a couple of other things wanted to throw out there. Number one, the issue of pilot lights is a big issue, right? So pilot lights mean different things. So if you go to a commercial kitchen, I don't know what the story is here actually, but like a real commercial stove, right, has pilot lights and you light off of the pilot lights. In people's houses, that was the way it was. Until the 70s, right? Jimmy Carter assured the pilot lights, right? He said that no, it's too bad to have these candles lit all the time, right? Therefore, we shouldn't have it anymore. So, besides all the other things, Jimmy, right? Besides all the other anti-Semitic things that Jimmy Carter did, another thing would be assuring the pilot lights because that causes issues with regards to either bishul akum and also with regards to hilchos yantif, meaning you can much more easily turn stoves on and potentially off in a pilot light situation than you would in a non-pilot light situation. Now there is a yeah. So first of all, so do pilot lights work? So is that sufficient? So
you mean for the Mashgiach to light the pilot light?
Right, or just to have a pilot light lit. Once you have a pilot light lit, so it could last for a very long time. So it's a machlokas machaber Rama. The machaber, right, the for Sfardim seems to say, Ein shagir satanermo eles ele bepas, aval bishar hamispashlim, Ein shagir satanermo velo hadlakas eish malu morid el hanacha davka. That it's not enough to just light the fire, right? You need to actually put the food on. That's what the machaber paskins. comes to Rama and says, V'yesh cholkin, some disagree. The sphere luhud had lakas ha'esh o hachitui begachalim mahani l'inyin bishul k'mo l'inyin pas. No, it's the same thing. Just lighting the fire or raking the coals, that should be sufficient when it comes to this, just like it is by bread, v'chei noagim, and that is our minag, v'afilu chitui below kavana, even that would work, v'yesh omrim, da'afilu lo chise Yisrael, v'lo hishlich sham kisem, raksha ovei kochavim hidlik ha'esh me'esh shal Yisrael, Shari says, and some say that even if you didn't light the fire, but a non-Jew took from a Jewish fire, that would be mutter. Even that would be okay.
So, Mechaber, isn't it even a problem then for like what people commonly do, which is like a Jew go in early in the morning and turn?
Yes.
On, even that's a problem.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So there's two important things to talk about here, right? So number one is, right, does that mean Sephardim essentially can't eat in restaurants? So the answer, yes, the answer is yes. That it seems, the simple explanation with regards to that is that they would not, is that they shouldn't. Now,
not so obvious that they have the easier time now. You can't eat in any restaurants.
What do you?
I'm saying compared to things like kidneys or, you know, various.
Yeah, so that's the big chumrah that they have. Now, they do sometimes, they will, Right, so first of all, Rav Adi Yosef is Balamit Chus on it. I mean, he does say that maybe there is room to say that you put a couple of things together. I'm not sure how much you covered about this, but plus the guy is working for a Jew. That is another, right? So a couple of these kulas that are out there, you put them together, maybe there's room to a limut chus. Not that he says to be makel. Now, I heard Torah Shabbal Peh that when Rav Adi Yosef came to America in the, I think, early 90s, he came to America. He came to Yeshiva University, actually, that part of that trip, that he actually went to restaurants, and they asked him, how can you eat in a restaurant? This is the problem with Shalakim. He says, in America, the minhag is to be make a lot, like the Ramah. So that is pretty shocking. But there are plenty of Sephardim that try to be machmir around this. So in my shul, the Abraham family, that's members of my shul, so they try. You know, their kids, when they were dating and stuff, they would go to restaurants, and what they do is they ask the mashgiach there, can I go put something on? Or can you? They tell the mashgiach, can you put the food directly on? And they'll do it. I mean, it's not uncommon for that to be done. Now, sometimes they'll do it if they can. I mean, sometimes it's just restaurants are too busy and they're not really able to accommodate, but they try to do it. I mean, here in Cherry Grill, the Mashgiach there told me that it's not uncommon for them to ask it. Now, it is important to point out that it only works if nothing has been cooked yet. Especially in a busy Chinese restaurant where they're making a lot of General Tso's chicken, right? So they pre-cook the chicken, and then when it's ordered, then they'll put it in the mix and mix it together. But it's already cooked chicken by the time it goes in. If that's the case, you miss your chance, right? You really have to start from the time that it's raw. That is their chumrah. And in order to be machmer like that, they try to be machmer like that. Now, we do have one restaurant, Judah's Grill in the Northeast. So there, it was when they first opened, they wanted to be machmer for Bishul Akum afilu l'shitas Beis Yosef. And when we took over the Hashgacha, that was one thing that they were insistent on, both Rabbi I'm forgetting his name, and the Rav who was giving the Hashgacha as well as the restaurant itself, they were very insistent on maintaining that, and that is actually the only Mashgiach job that we have where he doesn't do any work. I mean, the Mashgiach essentially is there sitting next to the grill the whole time. At any time anything needs to go on, the Mashgiach goes and either puts it on or flips the burger or something like that, but actually has a role in actually putting the meat on. Now, this Ramah, so this Ish Mi Ish thing, some point out that it sounds like it's only b'di'evan, meaning it sounds like you could put it on, right? Like you could rake the coals, and if you want to take the fire from someplace else, so that's mutter. So that usually is language for but l'chadchil you really shouldn't do that. So some say, sorry, it doesn't say that. It says mutter. So mutter is mutter. While others are machmir, and others machmir say, no, it needs to be, a fire actually has to be in proximity to where you're actually cooking. So in most, like, woks and things like that, that is the case, meaning the pilot is at the bottom, or on the commercial stoves, right, the pilot is visible, and therefore it's usable. In home ovens. I mean, we had an oven from the, we got rid of it a couple of years ago, but we had for, like from the 70s, from the pre-Carter era, where the pilot is like right in the middle and the burners are over here, right? So that actually would be a problem, according to this. But
actually underneath the
right,
metal part.
Right, there should be some heat that is being granted, even according to the Rama, there should be some heat that is being given to the actual food. So we, as Vad, we're machmer on this. I thought Rabbi Brisman had a tshuva on it. I looked through his tshuvas today. He did not have a printed tshuva on it. I believe Rabbi Brisman was machmer on this. And we generally maintain that. I think the Star Case is machmer on this. I don't know about the OU, but that a pilot light only works if the pilot is within proximity of the food itself, such that the food such that you're getting some heat there from the pilot, as opposed to the pilot being here and the food being over there, that not everybody is going to be as comfortable with.
With Svardim, why are the blias not an issue in the restaurant where normally they're not following their shita, but they ask the mashgiach, "Well, put this on the stove for me."
Right. Right. It's a good question. That's a good question.
Unless that's kind of like a raya that really they agree with the Rama.
Or b'dieved would be willing, you know, that they're remaking like that. Right. That is. Right, it's a good taina. It's a good taina. I mean, you'd be so make somewhat on the, right. By the way, if you're really going to hold the shita strongly, right? So how does you have to be machmer on that? I actually, for those of us that are mashgichim here, you have to be careful what you say. I had a woman call me, completely freaking out. That she called me saying, "I thought that Judah's grill is supposed to be good even for Sardim." So I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well." And that's what I always assumed. That's why my son-in-law, who is Sephardi, I brought him there, telling him that was the case. I said, "Yeah, that's right." So she said, "Okay, but I was ate there last night, and the mashgiach came out, from behind the counter, and I said to the mashgiach, so I'm going to clarify, you cook all the food here?" So the mashgiach said, "What, me? I can't possibly cook all the food here." I was like, freaked out, right, et cetera. So I told her, I don't think the Mashiach realized what you were asking. You thought you were asking if he's the cook. He's not the cook, he's the Mashiach, but he does put all the food on. She's like, "Are you sure? Because I want to, maybe you should call and find out what the..." I don't have to call, I know how it works there. This is how it works. But anyways, if you ever be a Mashiach, make sure you know what the question is before you answer it. Do your best. To know what the question is before you answer it. Just one or two other nekudos here. Number one is, actually, he's machmir her on eggs, which is interesting. And Yud Dalit, right, it says, Beitza afa pi sheru'uya legoma chaya im bashla obi kolchavim aser. That a beitza, even though in theory you can eat it raw, if a guy cooks it, it becomes aser. And their mother doesn't argue, right? So that we're machmir on. So wait a second, is beitza nechal kemoshu chay? What just happened there? So most folks can assume that, yeah, he could swallow an egg raw, but we don't swallow eggs raw, right? That's not considered the normal way of cooking it, and therefore we generally are machmir on that. We are machmir that eggs would be subject to this. And I, is it royal shulchan malachim? So the answer is yeah. First of all, it's used as a glaze. Now the truth is that itself might not be enough to be machmir on it, but generally at affairs they do have egg tables now. Is eggs really part of the... That's sort of like, right, omelet. An omelet station. Is that really a state dinner? Or it's like bar mitzvahs are nice, But generally, the Shulchan Aruch itself is machmir on beitzos, and we are machmir for that that as well.
My wife got this week this vintage plate still in the box that's like a serving plate for deviled eggs. It's like a fancy deviled egg serving plate. You've seen this before?
Yeah.
It's like sort of like implying that there is like a fanciness to it.
The deviled eggs are pretty fancy.
Remember my grandparents, the German grandparents, they were very into the soft boiled eggs. Was there one other thing here that I wanted to get out? I don't... I don't remember. Okay, fine. That pretty much extinguishes, covers my my notes here that I wrote down. There's plenty more, but I see it all like ties in together, all these things. But keeping the principles, and you got to keep your eye out all these things. Things, by the way, come up in houses also all the time.
So what's the Moscana on IKSA?
I tell people openly. It's just not up to regular kosher standards, national kosher standards. But they do employ kulas. They are, for example, rice itself. So rice is, there are those that are makel on rice. So a lot of these places, they have a rice cooker. Right, so the rice cooker is plug-in, it's electric, it's no pilot light there, it's turned on every day. So are you going to be make it like that? Well, most are not make it like that, but they, I think, are. Or they'll leave the rice cooker on they'll keep the rice cooker on all the time, but how do you know that it's always on all the time? It's just a plug-in, it's not a pilot. So that's another thing.
Is this the podcast you were talking about?
Probably, yes. So there is Rabbi, Rabbi Zev Schwartz, yeah, he's the one. Okay.
Can I just go on an item on the list?